Very good. Good morning, North Church family. How are we doing this morning? Very good. Well, I am excited to be here. My name is Lance Lang, and I am the founder of Hope is Alive Ministries. And we are so excited to be with North Church at all locations and all experiences this morning. We are a partner of yours, and that is largely because you have leadership that loves the brokenhearted. Amen? And just for a moment, I would like us to honor Pastors Clint, Samson, Hetty, Rodney, and Shannon. Can we give them a round of applause and honor them for their work that they're doing, the love that they have for each one of you, and how this church is impacting this city? We are so grateful for the partnership. It has produced so much fruit in just the past couple years. In fact, when I was last here, it was February of 2016, and at the time, we had three homes for men and I believe a house for ladies, and this is kind of what we looked like here on the screen as far as the size and who we were working with. A lot of great folks there at Christmas time. But get this, church, since that weekend, we have continued to grow and grow and grow. And just last weekend, get this, we opened our 9th and our 10th home at the same time in two different locations. This is what we look like today. Is that not amazing? It's just awesome what God has been doing through this partnership. But what I want you to know about this, North Church, is that we are a resource for you. Out in the community, we are helping the brokenhearted, but we're also here for you. We're here for you. Maybe today you have somebody in your life that needs some hope. Maybe you have somebody in your life that needs some help. We are at all locations with a male and a female staff member in the lobby. We have a table full of resources, full of books, and people out there that want to get to know you. So make sure you come up and say hi to us today. Don't hesitate to take that step towards freedom. Go ask somebody about some help that we believe we have for you. Well, it's not just about homes or numbers. What Hope is Alive is really all about is radically changed lives. Amen? And I want to start this morning by telling you three stories about three individuals that mean a whole lot to me. I want to start by telling you about Tyler. Tyler, he's 24 years old, but when he was 19, he was in a really bad car accident. He was left seriously injured, and the passenger also in that car passed away. And the guilt and shame and just everything that kind of comes from a circumstance like that propelled him into drugs and alcohol to medicate. Now, along the way, he had other life circumstances and things pop up, including having a little daughter. But his addiction began to grow and excel, and unfortunately got worse and worse and worse. He picked up legal charges, and his life was headed in a bad direction. But about 2 years ago, his mom began to come to one of our support groups. She began to learn how to live in the solution, and we all began to pray. What I want you to know is this. Just about a year ago, through some circumstances and situations, he found himself at rock bottom. He went into treatment, and after he left that treatment center, he moved into a Hope is Alive home. Since then, he has rededicated his life to Jesus. He is working our program fully. He has a full-time job. And as this picture shows, he's not only a leader in our homes, he's not only a leader at work, he's a leader of this family. Give it up for Tyler, his beautiful girlfriend Lauren, their daughter Hayden Claire. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a life radically changed. I want to tell you about my really good friend Nick. We have Nick's picture. You might look familiar. The Patchens have been here for several years, and Nick's a great young man. But a few years ago, he was falling into some addiction issues as well. And through connecting with Hope is Alive, we were able to connect him to the right treatment center. And when he left, he moved into a Hope is Alive home. While he was at that home, get this, he began to feel a call on his life to the mission field. He filled out an application for YWAM while he was in our homes, and we prayed over him. He was accepted, and get this, today, he's in Kona, Hawaii, not a bad place to be, right, especially today. And he is, at the end of this month, going to finish his training and go out of the mission field. From addicted to the mission field, that's a life radically changed. Come on. And lastly, I want to tell you about my really good friend, Jordan. Jordan grew up in a house that was surrounded by methamphetamines. And early in her teenage years, she began to use as well. She also fell into a pretty toxic relationship with an older gentleman. Along her life, she had a little daughter named Camden. Now, for a season there, mothering Camden and doing life with her helped keep her sober. But unfortunately, she succumbed back to her meth addiction, and life began to spiral out of control, unfortunately leading her to a place where she lost custody of Camden. But her story was not over. Just about 6 months ago, she found her way into a treatment center and moved from Dallas all the way up to Oklahoma City to be a part of our program. And get this, church, just about 3 weeks ago, for the first time in 2 years, she got to see her little daughter, Camden. This is a picture of that moment. Isn't that amazing? But that's not all the story. You see, at Hope is Alive, we're about progress and growth. And at the first of every quarter, we set 3 quarterly goals. But it's not just about goals in life. It's also praying that God would do something miraculous in our life. And so at the end of the sheet of paper, we set a God goal. You ever set a God goal? Come on, church. You with me this morning? Well, check out what Jordan's God goal was this quarter. For my daughter to call me mom again. Last Saturday, in their weekly visit, when Jordan walked into that home and picked up Camden, she looked up in her eyes and said, "Hi, Mom." See, that's a life radically changed. That's generations beginning to be altered. And that's something worth celebrating this morning, church. You see, the stories of grace and mercy that are overflowing from these three people are going on to change people's lives. And I believe that God has a story for all of us and that He wants us to tell it. In fact, David says in Psalms that I waited patiently for the Lord and He heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the muck and the mire. He set my foot on solid ground. He steadied me as I was wavering. And He did what? He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to Thee. The scripture goes on to say that many, many, many will hear this new song and begin to put their trust in the Lord. You see, for years and years to come, the stories of these three people and literally hundreds of others through our ministry will go on to change the world. You see, the new song God's putting in our lives is our story, and He wants us to tell it. So as we pick up in our series, No Strings Attached, church, I'm excited to share with you a message that I've simply entitled, I Got a Story to Tell. I got a story to tell. Say that with me. Say, I got a story to tell. Yes, you do. Your experiences, your pains, your victories, your failures, everything that you've worked in your life has given you a story to tell, and God wants to use that story. Do you believe it this morning? Touch three people and tell them, I got a story to tell. I got a story to tell. I got a story to tell. I believe you do, because I believe God works through stories. Stories have great power. They move people to act, to get involved, to give, to change their lives. And Jesus often used stories as a way to help us relate to His nature and better understand His teachings. They're called parables, and they're all throughout the Bible. Well, I believe stories propel us to life change. Will you go with me as I tell you a little bit of my story? It was February 2009. It was bitterly cold outside. I was in Denver, Colorado on a business trip. And as much as it was cold outside, I woke up profusely sweating, burning up. My body aching, my legs kicking, dizzy and discombobulated. I kind of made my way out of the bed and over to the bathroom and turned on the lights. And as I caught my eyes in the mirror, something hit me. In a moment of clarity, I realized exactly what was going on in my life. For the first time ever, I was beginning to experience withdrawal pains. I was addicted. Now, I had been using different things for several years throughout my life. And leading up to this point, I'd actually been in a bad habit of taking quite a few prescription pain pills each and every day. I was in a work environment where I was in way over my head. I was in a family business. I was given way too much responsibility. And honestly, I was looking for a way to kind of medicate through that and to find some different ways to find energy. And I thought they were helping me. When that moment, when my eyes caught my eyes and I stared myself in the face, I realized very clearly I had a choice. I could keep on going, or I could raise my hand and try to begin to get some help. And I believe this morning, under the sound of my voice, many of you are coming to the place of choice. And maybe you need to begin to reach out for some help. Because unfortunately, I didn't. And I continued to use and to take prescription pain pills, and my life began to spiral out of control. Well, it wasn't about 3 months later, though, that I met this woman that was gorgeous and magnetic, and I was smitten with her. I was in love and infatuated, and so much so that I actually stayed clean and sober for the first several months that I was with her. But unfortunately, many of you know the truth that sometimes no amount of love that we give can keep an addict clean. Our relationship began to spiral out of control. We went from the highest of highs to the lowest of lows. And as much as I wanted to do the next right thing, I couldn't. I mean, I wanted to quit. Don't get me wrong. There are times that I really desperately wanted to quit, but I just continued to use and to choose pills over her each and every day. Our relationship was sheer hell on earth. It was fights and screaming and lies and manipulation and intense conversations where she would look me in the eyes and she'd beg me, please don't get into that car and go to Tulsa. Please don't do that. Don't go see that dealer. And each and every time I would bypass her, get in that car and make my way and find myself in some Quick Trip parking lot doing yet another drug deal. She would stand in front of the car, beg me, please, Lance, please. She'd try to pull me from the car. It was brutal, but each and every time, see, I was on a mission. Nothing was going to stop me. I was on a purposeful pursuit to get high each and every day. I could not do it on my own. I began to become the worst possible version of myself. Many of you have experienced in your life. I was a liar, I was a cheater, I was a thief, I was a master manipulator, I was a con artist. I'd look you right in the eyes and tell you whatever I had to tell you to get whatever I had to get, and most of the time it was in your bathroom to steal your stuff or to get your money. And the darkness just enveloped my life that's, in this time frame we have today, is just almost too hard to describe. Darkness was surrounding me. I got to the place where literally it didn't matter who it was. I was going to run right through you to get whatever I had to get. And finally, at the kind of near the end of the run, I got caught yet again stealing pills, this time from this woman's sister, and she set me down and said enough was enough, and she ended our engagement. I found myself holed up in my own home, reclusive, almost psychotic and alone. People would come, and they'd tell me later on that they would sneak their way into my house and just check my pulse to make sure I was alive. I was just an absolute wreck. At the end of the day, I was up to a 50-pill-a-day addiction. I was in pain. I was in pain, emotionally, spiritually, physically. I was hurting. I was lost. I was in a dark place. But how many of you know that God is a God that is willing to step into our pain? That there is no place we can go where His grace will not go. That there is no misery His mercy will not heal. That there is no darkness He cannot defy. Psalm says it really well. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise in the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Verse 12 says this, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Someone needs to hear this morning, there is no place of darkness you can go where the light of our Father cannot reach you. Hear it in your hearts, you're not too far gone. She's not too far gone. He's not too far gone. God can and will move mountains to come and rescue His lost sheep. That's how much He loves you. And see, light came in and invaded my life. And it started like this. I got a knock on my office door. I knew who was on the other side. I told you I was in a family business, and when I opened that door, there was my uncle who was the boss, who was the man who held everything in his hands, most importantly, the money, right? And he said, follow me. And so I did. And he set me down in front of his big wooden desk. And he began to tell me for the very first time, really and truly, the truth about who I'd become. You're a liar. You're a punk. You're stealing money from us. Your people hate you. Your parents don't know where you are. You're a physical wreck. What is going on? You're not leaving this office, he told me, until we get a plan to fix this. And for whatever reason, God was beginning to work on my heart that day. But I've been caught several times before. I've been confronted many times before. What was different about that day is what I hope is different about this day for some of you is that I began to finally confess. You see, confession breaks the chains. Are you with me this morning, North Church? Confession breaks the chains. And I believe when I began to just utter those first few words, I'm addicted, I need help, I'm hurting, I don't know where to go, I believe God began sprinting back in my direction. Because this is what happened. As I began to explain to him, his eyes began to get big and he looked at me and he said, you're never, ever going to believe what happened. He said, I was in a friend of mine's office just 6 weeks ago. We're sitting there talking like a normal conversation, and in walks in this big former NFL football player. And I get up and I shake his hand. I said, sir, what do you do now? That gentleman looked back down to him and he said, well, now I work with drug addicts and alcoholics, helping them find sobriety. And my uncle just popped up out of his chair. He said, I wonder if we call that man, if he can get you some help. So that's what we did on that very day. We called that man, and he sent me to the right detox facility, and he sent me to the right treatment center, and my life has never been the same. And that's a great story, and God began to use that story, but it's really the story behind the story that will blow your mind when you begin to realize it. See, it's not an accident that my uncle ran to that guy. It's not some random act. Are you with me this morning? It's not just some coincidence. That's called the sovereignty of our God. That's God doing for me what I could not do for myself. Literally changing scenarios and situations and schedules and traffic lights and who knows whatever else to make sure my uncle was in front of that man at the right time so that in 6 weeks he would have an answer, a solution to my problem. That's the kind of God we serve. He's always right on time. He's always working. He's always moving. He never gives up on you. Do you believe it this morning? God was beginning to write a beautiful story in my life. Well, 2 weeks later, I made it into a treatment center down on I-35. It's called Rob's Ranch. And I don't know, you might be surprised to hear this, but I'm not really a ranch kind of guy. Unlike your pastor, Rodney, I'm not a ranch kind of guy. But I was there, and when I was there, it felt kind of weird. It felt kind of different. Quite frankly, I felt like an outcast. I felt just like I didn't belong, like my family just said, get out of our lives and go get some help. You with me? I was stuck out there. And there really wasn't any forms of communication. There wasn't a cell phone in your back pocket. You couldn't jump on FaceTime and talk to anybody. There was a phone, but it was always broken, and 500 other drug addicts were on it. I mean, it was just tough to communicate with the outside world. And the best way that many of us found out how to communicate was through letters. And every day, for those 90 days that I was at that ranch, I had the same morning routine where I would get up out of my bed, walk down the hallway, cross the little street, up the steps to the office, say hi to the office manager, and I begin to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I was in room number 9, and mail slot number 9 was right there. And every day, moms, for 90 days, there was a letter in mail slot number 9. A letter from my mom. Now, these weren't just little get well soon notes, right? She didn't buy a card at Walgreens. These were full on pages, pages, pages of letters, and these stories and stories of these Old Testament and New Testament Bible characters, men and women who had made huge mistakes in their lives, murderers, thieves, junkies like me, but how God had stepped into their story, stepped into their pain, redeemed their life, and gave them purpose to go off and change the world. And it was through these stories and through this hope that I began to believe again. One day I came across a set of passages in one of these letters. And it's in Jeremiah 29, 10 through about 14. It might be familiar to you. And it kind of goes like this. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. We all know verse 11, right? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to do what? Prosper you, not to. Plans to give you a and a future. And what was going on in my life in this moment was that I was beginning to read this passage with fresh eyes. Have you ever done that? See, with fresh eyes, God speaks to us in our specific circumstances and situations. And although we might have read the passage before, there's a new thing going on inside of our heart because God is always working. And yes, I had read that passage on every coffee cup and piece of artwork in America, right? It was everywhere. But for me, in my circumstance, this was speaking something new. How many of you know that God can speak something new to you in your own place, in your timing, where you are today? A new thing was coming over me, and I began to read this, and I said, wait. He has plans to prosper me, not to harm me? Now, that's not the God I grew up with. I'm a PK, grew up in church, and the God that I always thought was up there was kind of like this. You with me? And every time I'd make a mistake up there in the whiteboard of heaven next to my name, he'd go, yep, there you go. Good job. And then I'd mess up again, and he'd go, oh, good job. I'm going to make you bald for that one. Way to go. I'm not joking. And what I realized as I began to read this passage is that God's not a God whose arms are crossed. He's not a God that's out to harm us. God's arms are always open, loving you right where you are. There's not a frown on his face as he looks down upon you. There's a smile that says, I love you. I love you. I got plans to prosper you, not to harm you. He said, I got plans to give you hope and a future. So I said, I'm going to keep reading because, man, those are two things I desperately need in my life. So verse 12 says this, then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And I thought, wait. I'm a jacked up drug addict, dirty and damaged, depressed, full of darkness. Why would you listen to me? It doesn't make any sense. So I said, I better keep on reading. And it says, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And that's the verse that changed everything for me. Because like I told you, I was raised in the church, and I know what it looks like to put on Sunday best and go live in the world the rest of the week. I can spit the game to you like you want to hear it, make you feel like I'm doing the right things, but go out and live another way. Are you with me? And I had done that for so many years. I had felt a calling on my life to use my story, but I'd ran from it. And in that very moment, God is speaking to me. He's saying, Lance, if you want a future, if you want a hope, it's time to give me your whole heart. All in, reckless abandon. Wherever you lead, I'll go. And for me, what that meant was very clearly this. I was being asked to use my story, to tell my story wherever he asked me to for the rest of my life. That was my whole heart. Are you with me? God might be telling you something differently this morning, but for me, giving him everything was saying, I am willing to share this story of hope and restoration and radical life change and how the gospel is changing my life, no matter it's five guys in a house or 50 at a prison or thousands on North Church campuses everywhere. That's what God was calling me to do. And through that motivation from that passage, the inspiration I was getting from my mom, I began to see that God really could take the pain of my past and give me a great purpose. You believe that this morning? God wanted to use my story for something good, and opportunities just began to open up. People would ask me to come and share and speak, and all I could try to do was each and every time give them an unequivocal yes. Yes. Yes, yes. And God began to use my story to change people's lives. But it's one thing to share a story. It's another thing to live it out. You with me? And what I felt was God was honestly saying, I want more. I want more. I didn't call you to be comfortable to sharing your story. I want you to live it out. And so pretty soon after this experience, I opened up a home on March 15th, 2013. and I asked 5 other drug addicts to come live with me. And you think your house is crazy. Right? Got a few of them here. It was wild. It was awesome. God began to do miraculous things through their lives. They begin to go back to college. They begin to start their own businesses. They begin to lead their own Bible studies and serve in their local churches and advance in their careers. And lives were changing in this home. And the phone began to ring. And so we went from one home to 2 homes and began to tell more stories and get the word out. And the phone began to ring more. And so we went from 2 homes to 3 homes. And those stories began to catch more momentum and more speed. And we went to 3 homes to 4 homes. God was using my story, their story, to change the world. But the story's not done. You remember that woman I was telling you about, the one that I was so smitten with and madly in love with and just came in and wrecked me in so many ways. And then, unfortunately, I damaged her and she moved on and honestly never thought in my wildest dreams that we would have an opportunity to reconnect, that she would let me back into her life. But as I was getting clean, God was doing a work on her heart. And through a miraculous movement of grace and forgiveness, somebody needs to hear that this morning, of grace and forgiveness, slowly, and I mean very slowly, she began to open back up to me and let me back into her life. And the most amazing, miraculous thing happened on October 15th of 2016. This woman agreed to marry me. Absolutely. She joined the ministry. She began to tell her story, and lives began to change. Soon we opened up homes for women. 1, and then 2, and then 3, and ladies were getting their children back and changing their lives and beginning to tell their story, and lives were beginning to change. You see, God is not a wasteful God. He will take everything that we have gone through and use it for His good. Even through the pain, hear me out, church, even through the mess, even through the darkness of your life, He will weave it all together into a beautiful tapestry of hope, of restoration, of beauty. And He'll use it to change other people's lives. As we close, I want to be very, very clear about something. This is not about me. This is not about Allie. These are stories of what a God of a comeback story has done through our lives. Are you with me? And how God can work through your life and how I really believe He wants to. Because when we begin to share our story, God begins to do miraculous things. And you have a story. 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 And it's specific. And it's intentional. And it's the one only God gave you. You don't have my story. I don't have your story. But God's given you something. And you know what? There are people that need what only you have. He's calling you to share your story. And when you allow God to enter your life, you become a new creation. And that new person possesses a story that can pierce the hearts of the brokenhearted, point them back to a Creator that loves them just as they are, no strings attached. You got a story to tell. You have a story to live. Let me tell you something as we close this morning. There's no greater feeling in your heart of hearts than knowing this, that what God rescued you from, He is using to rescue others. He wants to take what you've been through and use it for something great. He wants to take your story and change the world. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your presence and Your Spirit in this place. God, how You are moving amongst us no matter where we are or what we're going through, what our life looks like outside of these rooms. God, You're moving on our behalf You love us right where we are, and we thank you for that. We thank you that in our dark places, God, you were there. In our pain, you've stepped in. Father, you haven't left us. You've done new things inside of us, and you've given us a story to tell. God, may we find the confidence and courage in this day, in this moment, to take what we've been through and to share it and to use it for good. God, help us not to be selfish with what we've been through, but to be selfless in sharing the salvation that you and you alone have given us. God, we're going to give you all the praise and the glory for what you have done in our lives. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.